On paper, there are a lot of reasons why the Minnesota Timberwolves should not be able to beat the Memphis Grizzlies as the 7 seed going against the 2 seed in the first round of the NBA playoffs. However, I'll give you a few reasons why they've got a legitimate shot, and this actually isn't the worst matchup for the Wolves, and why they've had some success against Memphis this season. We're going to break it all down on the show here today. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. My name is Ben Beek and I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Thursday, everybody. Happy, game in between, first show in between the Wolves' victorious play and win on Tuesday and the upcoming series beginning Saturday against Memphis. Tons to cover here today. First of all, thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, the show is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find Locked On Wolves. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right. First of all, minor housekeeping note. Tomorrow, Friday show, we'll have a crossover episode with yours truly and Sean Coleman of Locked On Grizzlies. Fantastic. He's a fantastic host of that podcast. We've done a couple crossovers in the past. We hadn't done one yet this season. Looking forward to breaking this down. Obviously, we've got a full 7-game series upcoming. The Wolves and Grizzlies have played a ton of fun games this season. Really, all of them have been entertaining in some form or fashion. We'll get to that in a little bit. So what I want to do today is set that up a little bit with some questions that I have that I'm going to pose to Sean on the show for Friday. And also a couple of interesting kind of, you know, interesting notes that are these significant? Is it a small sample size theater situation? We're talking about 4 games, or is there a trend that emerges after 4 games against a certain opponent? I want to do all that here today. So let's jump right in. Well, first of all, how do we feel right after the play and win Tuesday, the national discourse kind of being like, hey, are the Wolves celebrating too much? Should we be mad at the people that are mad about the celebrating? Let's put that behind us. Let's get ready for this series. We've got 2 shows, 2 episodes to get ready, a couple of days to get ready. The Wolves are the 2nd game of the 4 games late on Saturday, the 2:30 p.m. Central tip on ESPN. And the Wolves opened at betonline.net as 6.5-point underdogs to the Memphis Grizzlies, which frankly seems a little bit high to me. Now, I know Memphis won both games in Memphis this year against the Timberwolves. They won the most recent one by 8 points. Earlier, way back in the beginning of the season, that was the overtime game. They only won by 7. So they're favored by 6.5. They won those games by 7 and by 8. Obviously, the Wolves are getting a little bit of credit for improving and playing better. But the line still seems a tad high, and we'll get more into that here in a minute. First, let's start with my biggest question in this series, and that is, we know about Ja Morant, right? And I want to talk more about the Wolves and Ja Morant too. But he actually hasn't done that much against the Wolves this year. In fact, and we'll dive more into this. The Wolves are the team that he has his worst field goal percentage against all season long. He shot a worse field goal percentage against the Wolves than he did against any other team. He shot 33.8% against Minnesota, averaged just 20 points a game in 4 games against the Timberwolves. We'll get into why that might be later, but what that does is that then creates my biggest question. Can the other guys get it done? Who are the other guys that are going to get it done for Memphis? You might remember, if you've watched every Wolves game this year, no doubt, the first Grizzlies game sticks out as the Brandon Clark game against the Timberwolves. Brandon Clark scored a ton of points in the third quarter. I don't remember exactly how many, but for the game, he put up 20 points, 9 rebounds in 24 minutes off the bench, 8 of 11 shooting. A ton of that damage was in the third quarter of that game. A game that the Wolves only trailed by 4 at halftime, the fourth quarter of that game. They trailed by 4 at halftime. The Wolves actually took a double-digit lead going to the fourth quarter. Brandon Clark went crazy. The Grizzlies go up by a little bit at the end of the game. Towns hits a three-pointer, sends it to overtime, a deep three-pointer, banked it in from 40 feet or so, sends it to overtime. But this, in my mind, is the Brandon Clark game. Also the Cat buzzer-beater game, but the Wolves ultimately lost, so it's the Brandon Clark game. The other game that the Grizzlies won against the Wolves was the John Conchar game. John Conchar had 15 points and 17 rebounds in 30 minutes off the bench against the Wolves, was a plus 15, shot 6 of 7, made 3 threes on 4 attempts from outside the arc. It wasn't Ja Morant. It wasn't even Desmond Bane necessarily. It wasn't Jaren Jackson Jr. They played well, sure, but it was John Conchar in one game, and it was Brandon Clark in the other. that buried the Timberwolves, both of those games in Memphis. Who's it going to be in this series? And you can look at any playoff series, and essentially over the course of a seven-game series, you're going to have do the same thing, right? You point at a game and say, oh, this was the so-and-so game. Will Memphis's other guys be able to step up and do that? Or will it just be Ja Morant? If it's just Ja Morant, the Timberwolves have shown the ability to slow him down this season. The rest of that roster, and the Wolves clearly deployed a strategy of make somebody else beat us. And the Grizzlies did that twice. They weren't able to do it twice at Target Center. Minnesota won both those games. One of them, they led by as many as 45 points en route to, what was it? It ended up being a 43-point win for the Timberwolves way back in, what was it? I guess it was still in November. At the time, the Timberwolves were 7-9 after that game. Memphis was only 8-8. That was right before they went on a really long hot streak. But the Timberwolves deployed the strategy of make somebody else beat us besides Ja Morant. And twice that worked, twice it didn't. But you take your chances if you can hold Ja Morant to, you know, 35, 40% shooting or less, and he, you know, is limited in what he's able to do. I mean, that's the chance you take, right? You have to make a John Concher beat you. You have to make a Brandon Clark beat you off the bench. Both good players. Brandon Clark's fantastic. I love Brandon Clark. I wanted the Wolves to draft him back a few years ago. But I mean, you can't give up 20-10 or what 29 or whatever it was to Brandon Clark and expect to win. So the Wolves have to find that kind of happy medium. We can't like let the other guys completely roam free because this is a deep and talented roster that the Grizzlies have. But obviously you need to force the ball to Ja Morant's hands as much as possible. And you take your chances with John Conchar and Brandon Clark and Tyus Jones and Kyle Anderson and these guys scoring against you. You'd much rather do that than allow Ja Morant to go crazy. Okay, next I want to hit a couple of other key things that I want to look for in this matchup. You know, basically things that on paper are scary, but again, haven't really killed the Timberwolves in their matchups against the Grizzlies to this point this season. Now, playoffs are a different animal. I get that. But I want to get into that here in a second. First of all, let's talk about our friends at betonline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. Speaking of the playoffs, obviously the Wolves are, I mentioned this earlier, at BetOnline.net, 6.5-point underdogs at Memphis. I think that's a little bit steep. I probably would have opened it at 5, 5.5, honestly. Curious to see where that line moves between now and Saturday. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, once again, a thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen. A reminder that for your next listen, you can check out the Locked On Now podcast, nightly recaps of every NBA game, including during the playoffs, with analysis from our local experts. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts, far superior to just watching highlight shows, scrolling Twitter, perusing box scores, whatever it is you like to do. Get that 60 to 90 seconds from every Locked On host who covers their individual team. You'll get behind the box score, beyond the highlights. It's definitely the way to go if you want to be caught up, intelligent, know exactly what happened in the previous night's games. Okay, a couple of key things in this matchup. So I was deathly afraid of Memphis on the boards heading into each of the four regular season matchups. And sure enough, there were a couple of times where Memphis got Minnesota. But generally speaking, it wasn't nearly the bloodbath that I would have expected. I'll tell you why it's worrisome. Memphis is number one in the NBA in offensive rebound rate. 30% of offensive rebounds are grabbed by the Memphis Grizzlies, potential offensive rebounds. That means that nearly a third of missed shots by the Grizzlies are rebounded by their own team. Number one in offensive rebounding. The Timberwolves, as we know, are a horrendous defensive rebounding team. They improved a little bit over the course of the season. A little bit. They're currently number, I'm going to make sure I got this right, I think they're 27th in defensive rebound. Yeah, 27th in defensive rebound rate. They were 30th, they were 29th for much of the season, but they improved a little bit towards the end of the season. So they're 27th in defensive rebound rate in the regular season. Memphis is number one in offensive rebound rate. And I was absolutely petrified that that was going to be what did the Wolves in against the Grizzlies. Sure enough, the first game, the loss in Memphis, the overtime loss, the Wolves were -6 on the glass. Both teams had 15 offensive rebounds. In the win, the massive win, the Wolves out-rebounded the Grizzlies by 17, which is absolutely insane. But everything about that game was kind of an outlier. In the next loss to the Grizzlies in Memphis, Memphis was a plus 10 on the glass and grabbed 16 offensive rebounds against Minnesota. And in the final game, which was a Timberwolves win at Target Center, Minnesota was actually out-rebounded by Memphis by 17 boards. So they were out-rebounded by Memphis in three of the four games. The only one that they out-rebounded them in was the blowout win. In the game that they won, they were a minus 17. They allowed 26 offensive rebounds to the Memphis Grizzlies in that game. 26 offensive rebounds, which is insane. I'd love to know what the record, not the record, well, maybe even the record, what the high is for a game in the 21-22 season for offensive rebounds by a team. Steven Adams had 6. Jaren Jackson had 5. Brandon Clark had 5. John Conchar had 3. Zaire Williams had 3. They had, what is that, 6 guys that had 3 or more offensive rebounds individually, which is just bonkers. And it's really worrisome, honestly, with the Wolves struggling as much as they do on the glass. That still scares me. The Timberwolves were more physical against the Clippers. They were active. They really did rebound all 5 defensively, which you need to do against a team like Memphis. The other thing, though, that's crazy is Memphis plays with pace. And so they're getting offensive rebounds and putbacks, but they're also, they want to play fast. So they're going to give up some transition points, even though they're a really good defense overall. But there's a lot about Memphis and Minnesota that are similar. Starting with pace, right? Both teams want to play fast. Both teams are good offensive rebounding teams. The Wolves are a top 5 offensive rebound team as well. They both crash the glass offensively. They both try and score on putbacks. They both try and get out in transition. But beyond that, things start to differ quite a bit. Memphis gets a ton of shots up because they play so many possessions and they do like to play fast, but it's 2s. They're number 1 in the league in 2-point attempts per game, and they're 28th in 3-point rate, which is crazy because they have a pretty good stable of 3-point shooters. Their percentage as a team slipped a little as the year went on, but I mean, Desmond Bane was in the 3-point contest. He's just a shade under 44% from deep. You look at the Wolves and they play super fast. They're 24th in 2-point attempts. The Wolves don't shoot 2-point attempts. They shoot 3s. They get to the free throw line. The Wolves, in terms of free throw rate, are 13th? 10th in the league in free throw rate. Memphis's free throw rate? Oh, I lost it. Memphis's free throw rate is much lower than that. I'm going to make sure I get it right here. It's 19th in the league. So Memphis doesn't get to the line that often. They don't shoot that many 3s. They get out in transition and they try and score via layups and dunks and putbacks. Ja Morant is obviously a master, one of the top probably 2 or 3 guys in the league at getting to the rim, finishing through contact, drawing fouls, dunking over guys, you know, scoop layups, getting around guys with his athleticism and craftiness. He does all those things. He can overpower you. He can be crafty with the dribble to just simply get past you. So much of Ja Morant's game is scary when it comes to the, you know, trying to guard him at the point of attack if you're the Timberwolves. We'll get more into that here in just a minute and how the Wolves have defended him so far this season, which is also something I really want to talk to Sean from Locked On Grizzlies about. But the Grizzlies are all about pace. They're all about scoring at the rim. They're all about offensive rebounding. The Timberwolves obviously are about pace, but they want to shoot 3s in the open floor. I mean, they'll get a couple dunks here. Anthony Edwards will dunk on you. Obviously, the Wolves will get to the rim. Malik Beasley can get to the rim in transition, but the Wolves would just as soon shoot a wide open 3, and they've got the personnel to do it. They ended up being, 13th or 14th in the league in 3-point percentage this year. The Grizzlies are 17th. They've got a bunch of rotation guys that are above league average. Ja Morant is hovering around that mark, a little bit below. Tyus Jones had, I believe, his best 3-point shooting season of his career, 39%. John Conchar, 41%. So the Grizzlies have shooters, but they're much more about getting into the paint, creating that way, kicking it out for a semi-open 3-pointer, but allowing Ja Morant, mostly Ja Morant, but also other players. I mean, whether that's Dylan Brooks or, to a lesser extent off the bench, Tyus Jones, those guys probe and collapse the defense, then kick out for open 3s, and that's how they get their 3-point attempts. The way that these two teams are set up and the way that they play is fairly different. But they're both fast. And that's what makes this game so intriguing. Both teams are going to play fast. They're both going to crash the offensive glass. The difference, though, is that the Grizzlies are also a very good defensive rebounding team, whereas the Wolves are not. The Grizzlies are 10th in defensive rebound rate. The Wolves are 27th. So the Wolves can't afford to get absolutely crushed on the glass. You can lose on the glass and win, as they did the last game against the Grizzlies, but you're not going to do that 4 times over the course of a 7-game series. You have to be more competitive than that on the glass and be, you know, plus or minus a couple of rebounds or win the battle substantially, of course, would be much preferable or much more preferred. But I don't think we can bank on that happening. That happened once this season. They lost a close rebound battle once. They were blown out on the glass twice against Memphis. To win a seven-game series, to win four games out of seven against Memphis, you have to win the battle on the glass in at least two or three of those four games if you've got a shot. And that means rebounding all five. That means an engaged Anthony Edwards on the glass. I know he was fantastic on Tuesday. Can he stay engaged, rebounding the ball, be aggressive in all facets? Will Patrick Beverley continue to rebound his position? He had double-digit rebounds on Tuesday. He's a very good rebounder and understands, you know, the opponent that they're playing. That's what they needed from him against the Clippers. The Clippers trying to play some small ball, no Karl Anthony Towns. They needed their guards to rebound. Against a team like Memphis, it's the exact same idea. You need your guards to rebound. Malik Beasley came up big on the glass. I think he had six rebounds on Tuesday. They need him to rebound. They need D'Angelo Russell to be present on the glass. To me, that's the biggest thing. And there's other matchups, and we'll talk about this with Sean from Locked On Grizzlies. Obviously, Jaren Jackson Jr., one of the best defensive bigs in the league. Is he going to guard Karl Anthony Towns? When will he guard Karl Anthony Towns? Where will he be guarding Towns on the floor? How will the Grizzlies scheme this up? I don't think they're going to do this the same way the Clippers do. What the Clippers did worked because of their personnel and the way that they were coached up and their veteran players. The Grizzlies are a little bit different. Towns has had success against the Grizzlies this year, and that's exactly what I want to talk about next, is the success that Towns and D'Angelo Russell specifically have had against the Grizzlies, and the really good job the Wolves have done against Ja Morant defensively to this point in the season. So we're going to do that next. First, though, let's talk about our new friends over at Shady Rays. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that gives you the features of $200 sunglasses for a fraction of the price. That means polarized lenses, well-constructed durable frames, and premium high-end finishes. Also, something you won't find anywhere else is Shady Rays' insane protection program. Shady Rays includes lost and broken protection on every pair. They will send you a brand new pair if you lose them, no matter what happened. Give them a try, and if you don't love them, you'll pay nothing. It's as simple as that. Plus, 10 meals are donated to fight hunger in America when you shop with Shady Rays. Exclusively for our listeners, head to ShadyRays.com and use code LOCKEDON to get 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That's code Locked On for their best deal of the season. 50% off two or more pairs of Shady Rays sunglasses, backed by over 150,000 verified five-star reviews. All right, let's talk matchups here. Let's talk about the guys that on the Wolves who have played well against the Grizzlies and the good job the Wolves have done against Ja Morant in the four meetings of the season. So going into the Clippers game, I talked about this on the preview show or a couple of shows leading into Tuesday's game. The Clippers had done a good job on Towns. I talked ad nauseum about the blueprint that Nick Batum and the coaching staff and Ty Lue had put together, the coaching staff and Ty Lue put together, Nick Batum and others executed against Towns and the Timberwolves. Towns only averaged like 15 points a game against the Clippers in the regular season across three games. We knew that they had a good plan against him. The Timberwolves knew they would have a good plan against him. They just didn't quite react well in the first half. This is a little bit of a different story with Memphis. Karl Anthony Towns has had some success against the Memphis Grizzlies. On the season, he's averaged 23.3 points per game in four games against them, 9.3 rebounds. So 23-9, 52% from the field, 38% from three, and 73% from the line on four attempts per game. So all those numbers are just a hair below where he was for the season, just a little in basically every category. So it's not like he's gone gangbusters against Memphis. He's always had some troubles with Steven Adams, although for the most part, I thought he outplayed him in the series. Well, he did outplay him in the series this year. But it's not anything like the numbers we saw him put up against the Clippers during the season. So I don't have that same level of fear that the Grizzlies are going to, you know, completely scheme Towns out of the game. The first game that the Grizzlies beat the Wolves by seven, Towns had 25 and 12. He did turn it over five times, but he didn't even get into foul trouble. The next game, he had 21 and 5. The Wolves won easily. He only played 24 minutes. He actually did pick up four fouls in 24 minutes, but it didn't matter. The other Grizzlies win, Towns had 25 and 9. He played 40 minutes, committed four turnovers again, didn't really get into foul trouble. And then the final game that the Wolves won, Towns had 22 and 11. He was in foul trouble. He played just 28 minutes, had five fouls in the game, but the Wolves won that one by five. And he was one of only a couple Wolves that they literally had two Timberwolves players that rebounded the ball more than four times individually. The Wolves were minus 17 on the glass. So they need Towns to make life miserable and to make life difficult for Steven Adams. Steven Adams had a relatively pedestrian four games against the Wolves this season. I think he missed one game. Yeah, he did miss one game against the Wolves. But in the other games that Steven Adams played in, he didn't really do much. I think he had double-digit rebounds in one of those three games. Otherwise, was kind of limited in what he did against Minnesota, and he didn't really cause Towns. This isn't the same Steven Adams from Oklahoma City, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago. And Towns was fine against Memphis, so that doesn't really concern me quite as much. D'Angelo Russell, on the other hand, has been fantastic against the Memphis Grizzlies. In fact, Memphis is the team that he's got his best field goal percentage against and tied for the most points per game. And he actually played Atlanta once. He scored 31 points against them. In four games against Memphis, D'Angelo Russell averaged 31 points on 55.8% shooting. The team he shot the best against this year was the Memphis Grizzlies. The team he scored the most points against this year was the Memphis Grizzlies. 31 points on 55.8% shooting. Also 46.3%, over 46% outside the arc on 10.3 attempts per game. So the volume is there for D'Angelo Russell against the Memphis Grizzlies. He also averaged 6.8 assists per game against Memphis. And let's break down why I think this is here in just a minute. On the flip side of that, I alluded to this earlier, Ja Morant's worst matchup this year in terms of shooting percentage and points per game, just shooting percentage, but points per game is close, the Minnesota Timberwolves. He shot only 33.8% from the field in four games against the Wolves. He made 6 out of 18.5 shots per game against the Minnesota Timberwolves, just 20 points per game. He shot 15% from outside the arc, which is less than one make per game. He made 3 threes across four games against Minnesota. He also only averaged 6.5 assists and turned it over 3.3 times per game, which was one of his worst matchups in that regard as well. So just to recap, D'Angelo Russell's best matchup in terms of his shooting percentage was Memphis in four games. We're talking about the full four games. His best point per game matchup was also Memphis. John Morant's worst matchup this year in terms of field goal percentage was the Timberwolves. Now, there's plenty of factors at play here. The schemes, obviously, the other players on the floor, they weren't strictly guarding each other, but we know that as dynamic as Ja Morant is offensively, he isn't that good of a defender. He plays on a really good defensive team, and Jaren Jackson Jr., to a lesser extent, Steven Adams, you know, off the bench, Tyus Jones, they have a bunch of plus defenders. Jaren Jackson Jr. is a plus-plus defender. Ja Morant is not that. He's not a great on-ball defender. Depending on how the Grizzlies choose to guard D'Angelo Russell, if they do what the Clippers did, D'Angelo Russell is going to average 30 in the series, just like he did against the Grizzlies this year. If they drop, they don't swarm him, and D'Lo, you know, has a sliver of space, he's going to launch a three. He's going to get into that in-between space that he likes, and he'll probably start the game by shooting a couple elbow jumpers, a couple of mid-range shots, maybe some scoop layups, some floaters in the paint. If he makes a couple of his first three, he's going to be really confident, and he's going to be happy to shoot from anywhere. He'll execute some rip-through moves. He at least once a game gets the free throw line on a rip-through move on the perimeter. Memphis struggled to guard him this year. And a lot of that is the backcourt matchup of Ja Morant versus D'Angelo Russell. Now, the Timberwolves deployed the strategy I talked about earlier, which was make anybody besides Ja beat us. And that worked too against the Grizzlies. Yes, the Grizzlies won two of the games, but Ja Morant shot under 34% from the field. If the Timberwolves can blitz him in the pick and roll, show hard on the perimeter, try and speed him up, make his life really difficult, that's the way to go, right? Now, you have to be careful to not get into foul trouble against the Grizzlies. You have to be careful. I mean, you'd rather Ja Morant shoot a three than get into the paint and wreak havoc, right? You'd much rather him shoot a semi-difficult three-point shot as a 34% three-point shooter than you would have him get downhill and make a mess of your defense in the paint, get Towns into foul trouble, get Jaden McDaniels and Jared Vanderbilt into foul trouble. So the Wolves have to take this calculated risk of, can we force the ball out of his hands by blitzing him on the perimeter? Can we show hard on the pick and roll? Can we play at the level of the screen or above and make him make a tough decision? Or is that aggression going to come back to bite us? Will he be able to split the defense, get into the paint, get us into foul trouble? Will his passing game be on point enough, you know, to throw a skip pass to an open Desmond Bane in the corner and he just rains threes all night, 44% from three-point line? It's a pick-your-poison situation. It always is in the NBA, especially in the playoffs. But what gives you the best chance to win? And I think the answer is doing what you did to Ja Morant previously. Force the ball out of his hands as much as possible. Be physical and smart. Now, Patrick Beverley is going to get a chance to do that. You better believe D'Angelo Russell is going to be up to the task. Remember, D'Lo has not been, Prior to this year, he was one of the worst defenders in the entire league, full stop. He just was. On the ball, off the ball, especially on the ball, on the perimeter. This year, he's been right around average. He's been pretty decent defensively. He's a big guard. He can make things more challenging for Ja Morant, and it's the playoffs. He's coming off a good game Tuesday. You better believe he wants to win this matchup against one of the best young players in the league. And perhaps that's why D'Lo played so well in that matchup earlier this year, was partly that motivation, right? So I'm fascinated by the D'Lo Ja Morant matchup. Again, they're not always going to guard each other. There's going to be some cross-matching. Pat Bev's going to get an opportunity. I bet even Jaden McDaniels at some point will be on Ja Morant, although I don't love that because of the quickness advantage that Ja would have. But that's one of this whole thing, I basically want to present these as questions to Sean Coleman from Locked On Grizzlies in our conversation for Friday's show. And I'm sure he'll have questions of me, you know, how the Wolves are going to go about stopping the Grizzlies. I'm fascinated to find out what he thinks about the way the Wolves defended Ja Morant earlier this season, and if there's anything to him struggling from the field against the Timberwolves. That's going to be really fascinating to break down. Be sure that you come back for that show on Friday. Be sure you're subscribed, you're following the show. Thank you to those of you that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, you can watch on YouTube. You can also listen anywhere you get podcasts. Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, that's all I have for today. Thanks again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Be sure to come back for that Locked On Grizzlies crossover episode on Friday with Sean from Locked On Grizzlies. It's going to be a ton of fun. We'll post early on Friday. We'll get you ready for Saturday afternoon, the matinee, of course, Saturday for that first game of the series. A reminder also, as long as you're making Locked On Wolves your first listen, first of all, thank you. Second of all, make your second listen Locked On NBA. From the first jump ball, the play-in, to the last possession of the finals, Locked On experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.